TJMCloud.com.
Shit, we all came from the same one little particle. That's how all matter is formed. And so we're all one, and so we're all gonna get along. No.
Well, yeah, doesn't it?
What is science gonna do with that?
Wasn't there a kind of presupposition of the term God particle? Hadn't they been using that term?
Yes.
As a description or something for a number of years.
These scientists in the 60s who were at the place at CERN in Switzerland, they theorized that there had to be some particle. Higgs, named after Peter Higgs, and then boson, I guess that's some kind of term. I don't know what that is. I never heard of that before. But they were there and very excited, I guess, that they saw the discovery. But I don't know.
Yeah, hasn't CERN had a few, like, I don't know. I feel like just recently they were retracting something they had claimed recently. So oh. I have a hard time, I'm not sure. I'm a little skeptical of some of these discoveries, because it's often the early science. There was a claim at one point that they said that they had found something traveling faster than light, and then they retracted that claim. I don't know, you know, like. What do you think? Like I think that you have to, like, these things take years to confirm and or at least get even further on, right? I mean, if not even confirm, just, you know, come up with more proof for it. But what is your feeling? Like, what do you think? Do you think it has, like, that those philosophical kind of implications, or do you think it's just like a scientific discovery they're trying to market to the public with, like, philosophical implications?
Well, I think science is great, but I guess I am more interested in the ways that we're going to use that information. And that's, like you said, where it goes to the philosophical point of, you know, what is driving the scientists to want to know what the fabric of the universe is? Because, you know, we ask ourselves a lot of times, why are we here? You know, what is our purpose in life? And, you know, what if the science gives us the answer of there is no purpose and you are just here to be you and to be yourself? And, or what if it gives us some other kind of answer? And, you know, like, how do we interpret that? And, you know, we have never really looked at ourselves as a collective whole of humans on this planet, of inhabitants, with the animals and the bugs and the trees and the water and the sky. I mean, we haven't done that.
Well, I guess, like, modern Western culture hasn't done that much. You know, is that why people are so into all the 2012 Mayan stuff and all that?
You're right. I mean, I have lived mostly a North American life.
Well, yeah, but you grew up in California, so in a way you're probably more exposed to more ecumenical set of ideas than a lot of kids in America growing up. I mean, don't you think that... But yeah, don't you think, like, there's a lot of people that, I don't know, like I guess there's more, there's a lot of belief that things have to change. There's a lot more rejection of the bankers and the system that the, you know, the rich Western countries and their elites, really, impose on everyone. And in Europe is, like, fraying at the edges. There's all these, you know, the Greek situation and all the other countries struggling to pay their euro-denominated debts.
Yeah, if you just click on, like, Google News today, it's a very interesting mix of news on July 4th, you know, 2012, which is America's Independence Day. But, you know, there's stuff about the Barclays scandal, and there's this stuff about the subatomic particle. You know, it's just, it's a very, like, there's stuff about Yasser Arafat and how he may have been killed by radiation.
The polonium stuff that they used to kill that Russian spy. That,
exactly, right?
And,
yeah. You know, and again, I was just skimming the headlines.
I saw that accusation is going around. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, just an odd, not odd, I mean, just a mix of stories today. And, you know, like, I don't know. It's just, a lot of them are sad ones, you know. This is
yeah, there are a lot of very negative stories.
You know, like just
bad news.
Bad news and wars and bombings and dead soldiers. It's just, yeah, I mean, couldn't we just return to a different way of life?
Or move to one, because humans tend to be pretty savage, you know, in a lot of different cultures. It looks like neutrinos are the particles that's what they were talking about last year. I know that the Higgs boson stuff has been talked about also, but last year, that there were claims that neutrinos broke the speed of light by CERN, and now there's a lot of controversy and doubt that that's true. So I don't know if it's still being looked at, but there's there's claims that they were right, but there's a lot of there was a lot of doubt initially, and then I guess as this year has gone on, there's more people that have been questioning CERN's claim about that. I don't know. I think the Higgs boson thing was a leak that they weren't sure about. Like, they put it up on the website and then they took it down or something. But the video has been leaked. Basic building block of the universe, they're claiming. You know, and it could be true. But I don't know. Yeah, the whole way that it's being messaged out with the God particle. It's some strange talking points.
Right, and then there's like some stuff about, you know, Mitt Romney and said that, you know, the healthcare is a tax.
Oh, the healthcare thing, that is a fascinating issue.
Obama's going to be in Iowa.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, and it's just like, it's like a capture of the day, you know, it's like there's politics going on, there's 4th of July festivities, there's science, you know, there's just all sorts of interesting things going on in the world. I don't know.
And, you know, the healthcare law was upheld, and it's a very strange issue because a lot of liberals really question the value of the law without a public option and stuff like that. But a lot of it seems like conservatives are just, a lot of them are very crestfallen by this ruling. They were expecting the law to be overturned. I don't know the law. You know, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the legal system well. But I think it seems like a lot of Republicans and right wingers just expected the law to be settled on partisan grounds, and they didn't expect like a consideration of the law to enter into it at all. And I think it's very possible that John Roberts actually just took his responsibility as a Chief Justice seriously and decided to look at the clear law. Like, I think if it were a close call on constitutional law, maybe he could have ruled like a concurring opinion with the conservatives and he could have overturned the law. But if it, I think it's a clear, I don't know, you know, it seems to me that there's pretty good argument that it's a pretty clearly constitutional law. Of all the other things they allow the government to do, allowing them to do this, to have an extra tax if you don't buy health insurance. I don't like the idea. But I think the question of whether that's constitutional is, I mean, it probably is constitutional under the, like, it's probably in line with other Supreme Court rulings.
Right. But is it really what's right for the American people? You know, just give us free health care, my goodness.
Well, there should be a single-payer system.
Yeah.
And it should have gone further, but I think what the Republicans were expecting is for a complete overturn, not just of the mandate, but of the entire law. And I think that actually there was talk that the Obama administration had actually made the law hard to sever apart. They had tried to write it as one block that would either, you know, stand up or fall depending on the constitutional ruling, which they expected to uphold the law. The Obama administration maybe naively thought they're on pretty good grounds constitutionally, so they should be able to get this thing through. And I think there are a lot of rumors swirling around that John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, was ruling with the conservatives. He was saying, I'm going to overturn the law. And then he just looked at it deeper. Read deeper into it, and he realized that the constitutional law was pretty clear, and it was on the other side. And so he upheld the law. So I think that was what happened.
Yeah, well, and I think the Republicans are delusional. I mean, you know,
yeah.
The fact that they get into an election tizzy, and they think they're doing great, and they think they're going to win.
Yeah.
And I want to remind them that their candidate is Mitt Romney. And
yeah.
It's
that's
just,
a good
it's
point.
It's not going to happen this year. Sure. You know, like, he is your sacrificial lamb, so you throw him up.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think he's on the downward spiral now?
Because
I think he's down by 3 or 4 points in national polls. But also, Obama's ahead in some key battleground states like Ohio. And it's like, it's unclear whether Mitt Romney could really mount much of a charge. But usually, both campaigns mount at least one or two charges between now and November, right? And it could be largely artificial or media created. But there's going to be probably a Romney run and then an Obama run. And Obama may never even trail, but Romney might have some kind of burst. If they pick a vice presidential candidate, there's the cheap tactic of throwing everything on the – throwing like – you know what I mean? Like throwing out something that's just going to be proverbial red meat for conservatives like Sarah Palin, but then that undermines your overall electoral strategy in the long term. So John McCain may have lost by a wider margin than he would have. And lost more states than he would have if he had picked someone other than Sarah Palin. But at first, he got a big jump and may have led in the polls. Like, do you think he's ever going to do that one burst in the polls like McCain had? People kind of forget, McCain did have one burst. It wasn't a total blowout the whole way through.
No, and I was going to bring up McCain, too. I think it's going to be a very similar thing. I mean, I don't know who or when he's going to pick his running mate.
Yeah, maybe August or September, but I don't know. I have no idea what they're going to do.
Is my guess is when he'll use his boost, because Obama, you know, he's not picking anybody new. And then I think, you know, October timeframe into election, Obama will just rally everybody up. And I think they're going to stay quiet this summer. It's a pretty hot summer in America. There's that storm going on right now. People have been without power for 5 days, and I guess they're having, like, a really crappy 4th of July in, like, the East and Virginia and kind of just, like, right below us here in Ohio. And, you know, as the president, you mean, you got to celebrate, but you also got to, you know, put your hearts out to those people suffering on this day. I mean, not everybody gets to party and,
yeah,
you know.
True.
So I think he needs to get back, and Obama needs to get back and connect with the people. And I don't even want to give him any advice because fuck him. Like, he's just shitty, and he didn't really show anything in his first 4 years. And here we are again in this, you know, horrible situation where it's the lesser of two evils. And good God, we better pay attention to who the Republicans are running, because maybe it's one of those stupid little Scott Browns or... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it could be
some little senator, some little congressman sitting around something.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing is that, look, I mean, I'm disappointed in Obama as well, but I may not bother voting, but I cannot look at someone like Romney and not be appalled. And, you know, these Republicans are all the same. Just like, I mean, look at Ron Paul, right? He had all those followers who are like, Ron Paul is different, dude. He's a different kind of candidate. He's a man of principle. And what is he doing? He's shilling for Romney the whole campaign. And then his son, Rand Paul, the senator, endorses Mitt Romney while Paul's still supposedly running.
I mean, come on. Your own son doesn't endorse you.
I mean, it's like your own son is at the very least throwing in the towel on you before your campaign's officially over. I mean, come on. This is a guy. This is your name is what got you. You know what I mean? Your political career. And yeah, I can't believe that. But obviously, I think it's probably because he may be doing what Ron Paul wants, not defying Ron Paul. Because there are people that have really made a good case that he was shilling for Romney by always attacking the other candidates who had very little chance.
Go back and look at those.
There are people that have done these edits, super edits. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's all sorts of ways you can edit campaign footage, and I wasn't able to watch much of those debates because of not caring and not liking any of them and not being able to stand, not even finding it funny theater. Like, people,
no.
I mean, even Newt Gingrich is maybe the most appalling of their candidates, but he also probably has the, and he may be the strangest looking, but he probably has the best stage presence. He actually has a kind of a command of the stage. He says appalling things, terrible things.
Yeah.
I can't. But he has a certain TV quality to him. And Mitt Romney does not. Mitt Romney would have a hard time holding a PTA's attention for 5 minutes. And these other guys, Rick Santorum, what a weirdo. I mean, that's the kind of guy that people are paying attention to because they're trying to keep the people they care about away from.
I think I saw Mitt Romney at the 4th
grade apple tree parade. Yeah,
I think
really.
One of his many assistants was live tweeting.
Mitt Romney is just, yeah, I hope he loses. That's all. Now, Jessica made a really funny comment that I decided to tweet because I thought it was a really great line. I'm going to my tweet deck here. Somewhere in the tweet deck.
We should make some music of what it feels like to be a subatomic particle.
Well, you know, our song number 4 in Neener 2 is called Gravitons. It is named after the still undiscovered particle that some have posited, gravitons. So, actually, you should check, if you want to check our music out, check it out at blogs.sf3am.com/Neener.
Yeah, see, we're pretty hip. We're pretty, you know, futuristic.
But we should make it, I mean, I have, you know, this tweet that I wanted to mention about, it was so funny. Oh, okay. Jessica McKeown talking about some of the local news using social media. Quote, "We're going to live tweet from the 4th grade apple tree parade," unquote. And I'm trying to imitate the voice she does when she did it. I couldn't find it. But it was, it's like, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of local news and a lot of companies just use, you know, social media in such an inauthentic way.
Yeah, and that's a great, like, point. Your comment is a great way to encapsulate it, but why don't you expand on that? Because I think you're right, but for example, they're doing a lot of things wrong. What are they doing wrong? And then is there any possibility to turn it around with the resources they have?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of brands and a lot of news sources that are doing it right. And I think, you know, you can look at them, but you'll see that social media is a newly created position because it's a new channel for where businesses interact with their consumers. And it needs just the same amount of support as any other of your channels, you know, creative support, copywriting support, marketing, design, strategy. You know, it's a new place. And hey, isn't that great? You know, consumers have come to this new space where they tell you they want to interact with you. And with news, you know, they probably want certain things, not live tweeting from the fourth grade apple tree parade. So use it wisely. Don't overuse the medium. You know what you want to use Facebook for, and don't just push your tweets to Facebook and vice versa. Nobody wants that. You know, the landscape changes so quickly, and the rules of the game change so quickly. A couple of years ago, that was okay. Today, it's not. It's just not. You know,
WKYC Cleveland, their site WKYC.com. I have a feed that I subscribe to of their stuff. It's tweets pushed through friend feed. That's the feed you get from their website. So first of all, headline, friend feed still exists. They only got bought by Twitter. They got bought by Facebook, but they're still running. And Posterous, I guess, is still running. You know what? Posterous, I noticed, is one of the options on IFTTT. I think it's pretty cool.
Yes, you've been making lots of recipes, haven't you?
Yeah, I got it to push my Facebook photo upload to my WordPress blog. That was pretty cool, but it just bases the photo on Facebook CDN. But that's kind of cool. And then it can, you know, it can do the stuff like your last FM songs played to an Evernote notebook. A lot of stuff. A lot of services can interact with other services for free with their account. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like a social switchboard.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. As you know, as a telecom major, I'm very very impressed with that.
Thanks.
Analogy. Metaphor.
As an English major.
No, you're not an English major. You're an English major.
Hell no.
Did you want to be an English major?
No.
In school?
No, I couldn't graduate without taking this English class.
Really?
Yes, and I went there, and it was Women in Literature, whatever.
Women in Literature.
Oh, it was the worst class ever.
Why?
The front row was taken out with those girls with tortoise shell rim glasses and brown ponytails.
Oh,
Were
they awesome?
Were they awesome? maybe. I didn't get to know them because I was just like, it was one of those things where the readings were boring. The class was like, these women knew the professor, you know, this was a higher level class. Clearly, I had just missed it along my way.
So they were all a whole different type of crowd
girls
than you were used to. It was they were those majors, the English major types who were like very different at your school than the communication school.
Communication kids were just like, it's cool, let's play with stuff. You know, it was very into the digital age and the web was just starting and, you know, we still did some print stuff, but it was cool. We had the radio station. I mean, so it was a lot more relaxed group. And, you know, even the mass comm versus the, like, academic, I guess, there was a big split there because they were, like, then the nerdy people who wanted to, like, do studies and research and study all kinds of weird communication things. So they kept trying to unite and divide the communication departments at USF. But anyway... I did not like that class, and I was just not in the mood my senior year to deal with a bunch of junior girls in the front row. So I switched to this German class, and USF had these really cool classes where they do them on like a small scale, so they do like no more than like 12 or 15 students. And I took a philosophy class like that, and I loved it. And so I was in a German literature class, but what I didn't know was that it was all freshmen. But I had to take it because it was either that or going back to the English class. So I said, I had to get permission from the dean to take this class because it was supposed to be for freshmen only. And the poor freshmen did not like me and thought I was too smart until then I told them when I was a senior. And they were like, oh, I thought you were a freshman and just really smart.
Well, you know, yeah, those years of college education and experience, I guess, you know, can really make a real difference. Plus, you're a smart person.
Well, yeah, and there's like a lot of competition, you know, like I never realized that. When I heard them say that, I was like, oh, that's why you guys didn't like me. Just, you know, this competitiveness of wanting to be the best student and wanting to know. I'm like, I have 4 years on you guys. That's why I can relay other things in and you'll get there.
Why are they competitive? Like, what? You know, it is interesting. Some majors are probably a lot more competitive than others, like at any school. But USF has different departments, you know, from my experience there. Some of them are very much like, it sounds like your communication school, which I, you know, just know about through you and maybe having met, you know, a couple other people in it, but really just knowing you, you know, well, and it seems like what you're talking about, kind of like an open environment, very much emphasizing like people's independent ideas and direction. And all that, but because some of the departments at the school are very kind of typical. Like, I guess you would expect the business school to be a more typical button-down school. It's probably like still like the USF of business schools, but it's basically it's a business school.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a business school about business, and they, you know, then the classes they talk about things that involve business, like, you know, yeah. I mean, every school is going to teach finance and accounting and marketing, but I mean, it's you know, I think that there's other departments that seem to have a different kind of stamp on them, I guess the like the English department would probably be interesting, maybe out there, you're like your communication department sounded like very, creative minded.
It was fun that, and then my minor was philosophy, so then I hung out with all the philosophy. Professors, and they were cool. And
well, philosophy, yeah, that's a real, that's like what, that's supposed to be.
That's what college
thing, right?
Is for.
Well,
college is for a philosophy minor. I mean, like, where else are you going to be able to just read Kant and Plato and Socrates and have, you know, group discussion about it and have a good professor that can help you understand and even fall in love with stuff like that, you know?
Well, you know, there's a lot of philosophy out there. If you have some time set aside to read it, then you'll read a higher percentage of all the philosophy that's out there than if you just kind of probably read books casually through your life, like a lot of people do. So, yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. You can lay kind of a foundation, perhaps, you know, while you're, you know, a very young adult. It's almost still a little too young to absorb a lot of that philosophy, but it's a good age to, if you can get through it and try to remember it, you'll probably learn. You might see things later that make sense and apply to it, or maybe you won't, you know, depending on what kind of philosophy you read, I guess, and what kind of experiences you have.
Yeah. I think, you know, everyone should check out some philosophy. It's fun.
That was wonderful. I really enjoyed that. You really are good at the with the piano. Thank you very much.
Oh, I love applause. Thank you.
Well, Well, this has been a special edition podcast 37 of DJMCloud.com podcast on July 4th, 2012.
Happy birthday, America.
You know what? We should do a different instrument because it's not the same when I play it. Oh, well, all right. Next episode, we'll discuss the forthcoming Hobbit movie. Just kidding, probably not. We'll see. You can send us an email at djmcloud@sf3am.com. Check out our show notes, djmcloud.com. And also, you can check out our music, blogs.sf3am.com/neater. You've been listening to the DJM Cloud podcast with me, Daniel J. McKeown, and with the person that I'm always lucky when I have her on. Thank you so much for being on, Jessica.
Thanks, everybody.